Everybody, welcome to Corridor Cast. I'm here with Eat the Cake. How are you guys?
Good. Thank you.
How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks. So thank you for making time to do this. I really like the music I've heard. I'm really excited to meet you. To get started, can we go around and just so everyone can recognize your voice, say your name and what you play, and we'll start with you.
Yep, I'm Lady Claire, and I play guitar.
I'm Miz. I'm the lyricist.
I'm Jay. I play drums.
Nichelle Rose, the vocalist.
And I'm Wifty Bangura. I'm on vocals and bass.
Awesome. Well, like I said, good to meet you guys, and thanks for taking the time. So I think a good place to start would be to talk about how this band came about. So I understand, Miss, you used to be like a solo MC, is that
uh-huh.
right? So was this band kind of your idea? Did you find these musicians to build it?
So yeah, I was solo, just strictly like hip hop, like old, like, you know, like real hip hop.
Yeah.
And I got tired of playing to tracks, and I had the opportunity one time at a show to play with a band, and I kind of fell in love with that after that. So then put out an all call. I wanted an all girl band. We originally were in the beginning, and then Lady Claire was the first to answer the call. She's been here ever since, and then we have three new members. And here we are.
Okay. So how did you all get on board?
Craigslist.
Nice. Hey, that's the way to do it.
Not a safe bet anymore, but
it worked. It worked out.
They had a little bit.
Like all of my earlier bands were Craigslist bands.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It works.
It does. Yeah. It's just kind of, you know, today. A little shaky.
You got to be smart about it. You got to be, yeah.
I actually met Lady Claire at karaoke.
Oh, fun.
At a local bar that was doing karaoke. And it was a spot that I don't ever normally go to, but a friend of mine was like, let's try someplace different. And I went, and she heard me do, I think it was Evanescence.
Oh, nice.
And she approached me afterwards, and she was like, oh my gosh, my band, we're looking for some new vocalists. You should really come meet us. And you know, she was a little inebriated, so I gave her my number, but I didn't think I was going to hear from her. I was like, yeah, okay. But then, like,
I mean, you don't do karaoke sober, so.
Right, exactly. You know, it's fine. So about a month and a half later, she contacted me, and the rest is kind of history.
Nice. Yeah. And how'd you get involved? Is it just through the ads?
No, so Miz and I, we frequent the same coffee shop.
Oh,
and
okay.
We have a lot of the same, like, friends and colleagues. So she approached me about doing a collaboration because I am a solo artist. And when I got here just to jam with the band, I fell in love with, like, the culture and just, like, what they were doing. And I was already a fan, so it wasn't hard to say yes.
Yeah, nice.
She never left.
So about how long have you all been playing together then? Has it been a minute or?
About a year and a half, I think.
Maybe 2 years.
Because
I'm coming up on 2 years since I moved here.
Really?
Year and a half. That's
It'll be 2 years. Damn. It'll be 2 years in February.
That's it.
Okay.
A year for me.
Yeah.
Or it's been a year for me now at this point, like since.
Dang, man. I think because we work so well together, we've gotten so much
it
done.
Seems longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the time is.
Bless you. Sorry.
Sorry. I think that it's we're accomplishing a lot in the 2 years or a year for some of us that we've been together.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's just like yesterday that we all met and sat in the practice space. And
I don't know. I barely remember your name.
Wow. I don't even know how I got here.
But that's a good thing, though. Yeah. It's like we're getting all this done. It doesn't feel like it's been forever. And we lift our heads up and years have gone by already.
Yeah. That's great. Mm-hmm. So what was it that drew you to playing in a band, Miz? Like, why was it that important to you?
Honestly, because when I would fuck up on a cacos.
Too late now.
Now you can say whatever you want.
Okay, fuck up on a CD track, you know what I'm saying? And then I'll be like, damn, because I didn't like that.
Yeah.
Because
you're locked in. Like, yeah.
You're stuck. So it's like, you guys, then yeah. So I didn't really like that as much. And I used to forget my words a lot. So. But no, when I had the opportunity to be played with a live band, I just liked the instrumentation and how you can move, mix things around, and it's more freeing. So I was like, yeah, I like this a lot. So it's more fluid. That's what I want to do, you know.
Great. And so when it was the two of you, Lady Claire, like how did things change from that point on? Like how to have, because the band more than doubled. So like, how's the dynamic been?
Well, to be honest with you, when I first joined on with Miz, it was myself, Miz, and another friend of ours on like bongos and congos and things like that. And I had a hard time translating her like straight hip hop music into a live live presentation. And I would listen to her CDs and I'd be like, this already sounds done. What do you need me to do?
Yeah.
But, you know, I worked with it for a little bit and we sat and we wrote music to it and we changed up the songs a lot to kind of give it that more, that live feeling, that live energy. We kind of tried to keep the gist of the song, the foundation of the song. Sometimes we did, sometimes we didn't. And then after that, we just started writing together, like original stuff. And that started to flow out pretty well, maintaining the hip hop with a little bit of rock. There's guitar now and there's drums now. It came together. The songs started to write themselves for a time. So, and here we are. People jump on board.
Yeah. I didn't talk about this before we started recording, but I always drop in a song. So is there a particular song that you would like to play for people?
Every Nowhere.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Every Nowhere.
Okay. So let's take a listen to Every Nowhere and we'll go back and talk about it.
No time.
So again, that was Every Nowhere. I really like that song. It's got like the guitar part that kind of drives it, and the chords are very open and nice. Now, that's one that you all wrote together, right? So can you talk to me about where the idea for that song came from, and how the pieces all came together?
So Claire, I don't remember what the conversation was that day, but we were just going through some of the stuff that Claire had composed previously. Like, she just likes to mess around with, like, beats, and she makes these really dope sounds. And I heard this one, and I was like, stop. We have to write to this one. And so I started writing. I wrote a chorus and started to write a verse. And it took us a while to actually get it together. It really came together very well, like last minute. And then Ms. wrote, and we have been, you know, still working out just how we want the instrumentation to be and what the feel is like. But it's been really beautiful writing that song.
We were literally writing that song as we were going to the studio.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Traveling and writing and like, oh, I thought of this. Let's go back and do this. And
you should touch
us. Like, it's a song, it wanted to evolve, and it kind of evolved on us as we were constructing it.
I think I hear like a lot of layers on it. Did you put a lot of tracks on it, or...?
We did. More tracks than probably we've ever done in a song before.
Oh. And still, even as I go back and listen to it, I hear little harmonies that I'm like, oh, shoot, I should have did that, or we could stick this here.
Yeah.
So it's still, I think it's still evolving, really.
And then that's a surprise for the live audience.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah, right. Yep. Yeah. You switch it up. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. So that's the track. I think there's some really nice harmonies at the end. So do you... How do I want to ask it? Do you guys have a vocal harmony in mind, or is it something that you just do by feeling? Like, do you just sing to each other?
Definitely do by feeling.
Yeah. Because, as we go along, sometimes Miz or Wifty will hear, or even myself, will be like, well, that sounds kind of empty. We should try to maybe figure out something to put there, or what can we change, or what can we add?
Mm-hmm. Fill it up.
That's what I like about having a band, because you can just jam and, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You're not, like, stuck to, like, oh, this is what it is. So you're just free.
For sure.
Yeah.
And the song can evolve a little easier. Yeah, for sure.
And it, too, I guess we're lucky that we have such a great group of people who, our communication is strong. And even if there's times when we have a concept in our heads and not one of us can come up with it, someone eventually kind of gets it, or they find the words, or they find the way to express it. I think one time we were working on the song before Every Nowhere, and what was that?
Dr. Savy?
It's a dog.
It might have been Dr. Savy, but we were having some tough times communicating what we were trying to do, and Jared comes from behind the drum set and he starts writing on a piece of paper and like illustrating what it is we were all trying to say. It was perfect timing.
It was probably like counting how many times we were going to do certain things, and he was like, okay, well, this is the structure. Yeah. Right. We're going to do this.
Right.
I'm kind of methodical in how I approach music and all that.
Well, that's got to be really helpful for the drummer. Like, you need to have the structure down solidly.
Right. The drummer's got to be like
that.
But it's like when all else fails, there's always somebody that we can fall back on to, like, kind of pull us through whatever we're stuck on.
So do you guys kind of write together all as one thing, or does everybody, like, do their own little piece and, like, bit by bit make the song?
I think we definitely practice on our own and see what we can bring to the table. But then once we bring in everything to the table, we flesh out what it's going to sound like.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it kind of varies. So, like Every Nowhere, we started with a track that Claire had, and then we brought that to life with live instrumentation, and then we started writing. And then we went home, and because we record and practice, so we could take it home. Everybody has study material, or sometimes it could be I might come with just the hook, and then we'll start working around the hook. And then when we have something, then we'll take it home and people write to it. And you know what I'm saying? So
yeah, it's not like a set formula.
Even like the stuff that Miz had already written and that Nichelle and I came on to sing. It has evolved in its own way that fits our voices a lot better as well. Mm-hmm. And we'll work on different things and melodies and harmonies in practice, and that'll be it. And it can change also. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, flexible. That's good. So talk to me. Miz, did you write the lyrics for that, I'm assuming? I don't mean to assume. For Every Nowhere?
Just my part.
Oh, okay. Yeah, can you talk?
Her lyrics.
Oh, so everybody did their own pieces. So, yeah, do you want to talk to me about your part? Like, where did the lyrical ideas come from and everything? Yeah,
I don't remember what I was looking at. Something in this room, they're like, because Claire has all these really interesting, like, things on the wall.
Don't look at that. Bag of dicks.
It's a big old bag of dicks.
Yes, it is.
A literal bag of dicks.
It's always a great conversation past the bag of dicks.
And I think I saw something in here that was, like, Just Another Day. And mm-hmm. I'm like looking for it. I don't even know if it's like here
anymore.
T-shirt.
It was a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And it's like Just Another Day on
Did
it.
Did you give it there. Away?
What was it?
Oh
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And so, I was like,
so for the listener, I'm sorry to cut you off. For the listener, it's a shirt that says Just Another Day Guitars, and it's got like a whole different styles guitars on it. Okay, sorry.
But yeah, just using that as a catalyst, because I feel like for whatever reason, I really resonated with that. Just that one line, Just Another Day, because it is another day to like be grateful, another day to be present, another day to create, you know, to love and all that kind of stuff. So that's how my part started and the chorus was created.
Gotcha. And do you want to talk to me about your piece?
My piece, pretty much just playing off of the vibe that I was feeling and then what Wifty was talking about. So I started to go into some, you know, third, fourth, and fifth dimensional type lyrics. And then that's where we go. It's like whatever it was making me feel, that's what I like to, the feeling.
Yeah.
And you'd mentioned that was one you kept going back to record. So where was that recorded? Can you talk to me about actually getting that track down?
We recorded it downtown Baltimore in a nice small studio.
Shout out to Eli.
Eli.
You know, I feel like it's Map Technologies, I think, but I'm not. That's what it says on the door. But it's also like a visual art space, and there are several different studio heads in that building. So not sure what that studio. I remember like there was like graffiti on the walls, and it was, I can't remember what the graffiti was, and it said the name of the studio, but I'm drawing a
We're
blank.
Terrible.
Sorry.
But Eli.
Look up Eli.
Yes. Everybody just Google Eli.
Eli the
Down on Saratoga.
Eli on Saratoga. So, okay, so that's where you did that. So the guitar sound is pretty interesting to me on that. Can you tell me what you're playing? Just because I'm a guitar player and I'm interested in this nerdy stuff.
It was actually my Fender electric guitar. I played that for Layer One with an electroharmonic effect pedal. Mm-hmm. Kind of simulate strings and clarinet and various other orchestra instruments. And we did a layer of that, then using the same electric guitar with tuned down to a D. The entire bass line is on the E string, tuned to a D.
Oh, really?
The electric harmonic pedal.
That's and interesting. And then we layered it
with
technique.
Some acoustic guitar on top of that, also with the electroharmonic pedal.
Yeah, I definitely caught the acoustic, but it sounded like there was a lot else going on. So,
yeah.
So, were there kind of any sort of things that you guys, when you got in the studio, that you realized about the song, like little studio tricks that you added to it, or things that you learned that came out?
Well, that it needed a bass line, first of all. When we originally wrote it, there wasn't one.
Oh, there wasn't one at all.
Well, let me rephrase that, because with the original track that I made like 10 years ago, there was I used a keyboard to make a bass effect, and I used a, there's just various effects to make it sound like a busier song. And when we recreated the song, which I have to say, I've tried to recreate the song with many people live before, and it never worked out because everyone wanted to kind of stick with the way it was, and nobody ever thought about, let's just expand and make it something new and fresh. And, you know, with the group here, and especially when Withy came along and heard it, she expanded on it. We all expanded on it. We made it a full-fledged song. And that was the main difference between any other time we've ever tried to redo that particular song. But there was no bass line in the remake of what we were trying to do. The recreation had no bass line. So we were prepared to go into the studio and just deal with what we had. But as we were kind of going back and forth, we were hearing new opportunities. And that's where you kind of get the evolution that we were talking about.
Gotcha. Okay. Was there anything else that you think people might like to know about that song in particular before we move on?
Yeah. The music video premiere is tomorrow, August 30th, on the new moon, the Virgo new moon. So we're releasing that tomorrow.
Yes, everybody check that out. That's very exciting. That's very exciting. Well, let's talk about the video then. Where did you shoot it? Who shot it? What's the deal with it?
So, my man, Gary Ganu, is the videographer, and we shot it down, you know, the waterfall that's under the 83 Bridge?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, I think it's called Round Falls. Yeah, so we shot it down there, and it's just like a really sacred space there, has a lot of history there, and that's where we shot it at.
Well, what do you mean sacred space? And what do you mean by the history? Like, what about that drew you to it?
Well, that's a spot that I like. A lot of Baltimoreans don't even know it exists. So once you go down that trail and then you listen for that waterfall, and you take a little short hike, and then you're there with the waterfall. So I often used to go there to meditate.
Oh, gotcha.
And the last time I was there, I just knew that we were going to shoot this video. When Withy came to collab with us, this was the song we started to write before she joined the band. So, when we started writing it, I was like, yo, when we shoot this video, it's going to be at the waterfall. Because that's how, the feeling of it is just like a, you know what I'm saying? Like a high vibe, kind of celestial, you know what I'm saying?
Nature.
You know what I'm saying? Nature. So, I always envisioned shooting it there. And then when we finally started to record it, I was like, this is where we're going to go. So
that makes sense. Beautiful. It really fits. And so what can you tell people about the video? Is there like a plot to it, or is it more just like the visual aspect of the waterfall? Like,
there is a plot. So I say it's sacred because pretty much like that area, when you get there, you can feel the vibration of it. And I feel like a lot of things spiritually are happening there. So, and it's, you know, it's not just the waterfall, but it's also the trees, the way that the vibration of the trees are, the way the vibration of the rocks, like, you know. So it just fits perfectly with the song. So, I feel like
the video was had a lot to do with just healing everything that had transpired in that space before. So like just us like coming back to like take care of like unfinished business type of thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And just heal the place.
But it's definitely dedicated to the ancestors.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Aboriginal, indigenous tribes, anything, you know, that has happened there that might not have been to our best benefit.
Yeah.
It's kinda like a healing. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's kind of interesting. You have this like healing green space, and you know, most people think of music as a healing force. And I don't know, when I listen to you guys' music, I get a sense that you might think that too from the lyrics. Is that mm-hmm. is that absolutely. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure. For sure. Yeah.
And if you, obviously you've heard the song, but when you listen to the song, the harmonies in themselves, you kind of hear like a vibration. You feel like the soothing, you get just this, the sensation, the energy just from the harmonies. I love the harmonies in this song, the way they come together so tightly and mm-hmm. create a whole different ambient tone in the song. You feel like you have a different instrumental presence in the song.
Yeah, definitely.
I definitely felt hugged.
Yeah, that's a beautiful way to put it. I like yeah. that. Felt hugged. So you guys seem to do a lot of video work. Is that fair to say? I was checking out your Facebook. There's a lot of fun videos. Is that?
Well, we're starting to. I feel yeah. like yeah. We have a few under our belt, but we would like
with
to.
The group that we have now. Yeah, yeah.
right.
That's so yeah, it. We want to put out, start putting them out like once a month, mm. something like that. So that's the goal.
That'd be good, and something to make you keep putting out music too. Yeah, yeah.
Stay relevant. Yeah.
So I don't know if you have any thoughts that you'd want to share on using video as a tool with the music, how they complement each other, either from a promotional aspect or an artistic aspect. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
I think the videos of us in our practice space, that definitely promotes us in the, just catching us in our raw element. I think that adds another dimension to us, yeah. for sure. Not speaking specifically to the music videos, but just those.
Yeah, that way people can kind of get a feel of who we are as people and how we actually interact. It's not, I mean, even though I think the video still kind of is us.
Yeah, there
it's
doubt.
Us, but it's without the filtered and the editing and, you know, all that.
I think it's interesting because, like, a lot of the time, in my experience anyway, people find that, like, super spiritual people can be very serious, or they expect for spiritual people to be super serious and very, like, this has to be this way type of
these
thing.
These guys are goofballs.
Yeah. Like, we're wild goofballs. As hell.
No, yeah. Very inappropriate. I mean, yeah. Being good for you.
Yeah. We almost took down the bag.
Right.
Where do you even buy that, though?
That's a question for Lady Claire.
I got it from the dick store when I ordered.
Had to order a new dick.
The dicks. All the dicks. They put them in the bag for you.
Did they ask you how many dicks? Well, I mean, how many dicks was the minimum? Dick like, mark. I'm sure you had to. It was a minimum amount that you had
12.
To get.
Yeah, 12. At least
12. At least 12.
Wow.
12 dicks for free delivery.
Oh,
that's
small dicks.
That's real, though.
No,
that's right. A nice little deal.
That's a gift.
That's a Groupon.
Free yeah. delivery and no
Uber
tax.
Whoa!
You got okay. too far.
I'm Amazon Prime now. I am Amazon Prime now.
Uber
eats it right away.
No! You've gotten too far.
All right, everybody. Oh, man.
Okay. So, switching gears then, I guess. One thing I wanted to ask about, because I thought it was kind of funny, I'm in an all-female band. I saw that you guys were promoting yourselves, at least at one point, as an anti-all-girl band. So we do have a man in the band here. But so what was the idea behind anti? Oh, it was before that?
That was before that? Marriage, yeah. That's when we were all girls.
I
yeah.
talked it up.
We said, as long as he keeps his hair long. Like,
yeah. But he keeps cutting it.
Yeah.
But I am transitioning, so that.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. All right.
Win!
This is just coming now.
What a new moon. New moon, new
well,
Jared.
We're proud of you. We're here to support you. But no, so like the anti old girl band, what was the idea behind that? Why look at it that way?
At that time, that was another member of ours who really came up with that, and we just kind of ran with it. But it was really more so to go with like not fitting in the typical stereotypical box of what an all girl band should look like, sound like, feel like, because we're none of that. So that's where that kind of came from. Yeah.
Okay, just breaking out of the box. And in what ways do you think you guys don't fit the mold? Like, when I listen to you, I have a certain perspective, but for you guys, how do you think you exist outside of that mold?
I don't think that we sound like anything that's out there right now.
I agree with
and
that.
When people ask me, well, how would you classify your music? And I'm like, good.
Yeah.
I would say, and when I use, and I think you guys might have coined the phrase hip rock But when I say hip-hop that to people, they're like, well, hip rock, I'm like, what? You know what I mean? Like, people aren't. And then when they go and see the video, they're like, oh, okay, yeah, that's different. That's, you know, it's not like anything I've heard before.
Yeah, we didn't coin hip rock, but we say hip rock of soul. Hip rock and somebody else.
No, I think it's dope just because, like, every member of the band is so, like, unique. You know what I mean? Yeah. And we all, like, present in different ways. We all express ourselves in different ways. And I think it's really cool to see, like, Black women being together in these different spaces, like, and being able to come together to create something so big. And it's, like, dope. And a white guy. And a white guy. Like, a white...
But we're all... And we all have different styles. Man, I'm out of here.
And the crazy thing is... That can just exist with us and, like, it's all love.
Yeah.
What I've... And from my experience, because I've been in a band before this, other bands that I've, you know, had a chance to either play with or see, that most of the members have the same kind of style and the same flow. They like the same kind of things. We are all very different. We all come from different musical backgrounds. Maybe we all like different types of music, but we all come together and bring those differences to the table. Yeah. And I think that really helps with how we create.
Yeah, I've known you guys for 30 minutes, and I could tell you all are very distinct personalities and you're doing your own thing. So how about we talk about the different influences that each of you have and how they inform the band? I don't know if we want to go down the line. Like, what do you like, and how do you contribute it to the band?
Yeah, so I actually started out singing. Well, like, I've been singing forever, but I started out, like, seriously. Why? My phone sometimes just does that. That's crazy. Sorry. Yeah, my God. I mean, but yeah, I started out training doing classical music. So I did, like, opera music through high school and college and, like, music theory. So, but I fell in love with, like, jazz music and Broadway and that kind of thing. So I feel like as far as what I bring to the band is a lot of, like, these elements of music theory and, like, these stacked harmonies and these very thick instrumental parts that I really appreciate. And try to do my best to, like, to demonstrate how that can be done. And, like, they do it really, really well. So,
great. So, first, I'm going to apologize because I'm the one that's been sniffling for the entire interview. I did take an allergy pill, but for whatever reason, my allergy still bothers me.
That's all right.
You're good.
But, so I started out singing in church when I was young, gospel music. And that was my foundation of finding love for music. But as I got older, I strictly started singing R&B. And then the first band I joined was a cover band. And they did rock, alternative, a little bit of country, a little bit of R&B, all of that. So I kind of find my influences to be a little bit of all of those things. I love to listen to a little bit of everything. The rock influence is really what I pull from being in a band. Mm-hmm. And I want to explore that more, so... I think it'll be interesting seeing what we come up with and create in the future as well.
With my drumming, I started out for the majority of the time that I've been drumming as a rock and metal drummer, and it's only recently that I've started dabbling into hip-hop. But I really enjoy how I'm able to use a lot of fills and that kind of energy from those louder types of music in a hip-hop setting, especially in this band, which allows for it, thanks to Claire with the guitars. And so I think that really fits this very nicely.
Yeah.
Cool. I started out writing poetry when I was younger. And then those kind of, like, transformed into, you know, writing rhymes with hip-hop. But I fell in love with just music in general. So I don't really listen to a particular genre, but I just feel like if it's good... Now, my thing is, if it's good, then it's good.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
Yeah, and then my dad was a big influence for me. He was pretty much like a self-taught pianist, played the guitar. He considered himself a cowboy. He was from Kansas City.
Oh, is that right?
yeah. That's cool. And
so you had country too in the house?
Definitely. Yeah. Bonnie Raitt. And I loved Bonnie Raitt back in the day. So, I mean, I had a lot of different musical influences, Pink Floyd, and I just loved music. So, but because I used to write poetry, it was easier for me to just to get in with the with hip hop. So that's when I started, you know.
Gotcha.
My heaviest of all influence in music has got to be rock music, but like 80s hair bands for sure.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Ball, all that stuff was, you know, I was with a babysitter most of my adolescence, and you know, when I was small, I was like 9 years old, and I was, you know, with my babysitter. She had teenage boys, so they'd be watching Headbangers Ball, and they'd be listening to like Warrant and Guns N' Roses.
Oh, that's
so that's
cool.
Hugely what has influenced me musically, which I think you can pretty much hear
in
my end of the music. But and then the 90s was a lot of hip hop. I loved 90s hip hop specifically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a good time.
Best time.
Right. So I think you might hear a little bit of that in our music. Maybe sometimes when I'll jump on the exact beat that Jared's playing or the exact rhythm of Mrs. Lyrics. But for the most part, you're going to hear a lot of rock influence out of me. And then a little bit of country here and there, which I think you might hear in some of my strumming. On the rare occasion that I do strum, it's going to be like that classic, very, very straightforward country style strumming.
And actually, Everywhere Nowhere kind of feels like a cowboy strum in a way.
Right.
I wouldn't have guessed hair metal, but now that you say it, like the tones and stuff, I see it now.
Yeah,
I see it now.
If you listen to some of our other songs, you're going to hear, if I use distortion, it's almost always that very classic 80s crunch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that bright crunch, definitely. Cool. So, the other thing I wanted to touch on, and I want to think about my words because I don't want this to like come off wrong. So, you guys say you play hip rock, was it?
Hip rock and soul.
Hip rock and soul. So, when you say rap rock, I think a lot of people think of some really bad music, which is not what you guys are doing. Let me just be clear about that. So, I wanted to ask, is rap rock something that like influence you guys in a positive or a negative way? Like, is that something that you steer clear of or something that you like tried to develop into your own thing?
Well, I'll say this. I can definitely say Rage Against the Machine and Brad Wilk's drumming, even when he does stuff for Zach De La Rue, that definitely influences me.
Yeah, actually, that's a good example in the vein how you guys mix up rap and rock. Like, Rage Against the Machine does it pretty well.
Without a doubt.
But I feel like, you know, if you say that, people might think, like, Limp Bizkit first off, and it's like, no.
Oh, hell.
But yeah.
Why you gonna say hell? I like Limp Bizkit.
Okay,
fair enough. Yeah. See, I'm not trying to yuck anybody's yum. Like,
yucking my yum, man. Right now.
Wow. No, yeah, but cool. I think was Rage an influence for most of you, or not so much, or definitely for you? You said
not for me. I probably may know a couple of their songs, but I'm not super familiar with Rage Against the Machine. I know the name, obviously, but
I caught on to Rage later on.
Yeah.
But we do get a lot of comparisons to Rage. Yes, I don't know. I don't really listen to a lot of like rap rock. I actually don't even listen to a lot of hip hop, but unless it's like some classics or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I feel like I'm hip hop, and I feel like Claire's rock. And so anytime we would get together, that's what we ended up with. That was just the natural chemistry of it. And then everybody else has their own influence, and this is what comes together. Yeah. So, you know,
I wonder if that's why it works so well, is because you guys aren't trying to fit in like a model of something else. It's like,
I think that's exactly why we fit so well.
There's freedom in this band. Anybody who has an idea, we're like, okay, let's try it.
Right. Yeah.
It's not like, well,
nobody's
like
shut down.
You know? Yeah.
No. Nobody's shut down. There's no idea shut down.
Yeah.
We play it out and we see how it sounds. We see, you know, where it goes. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But every idea can be brought to the table.
Okay, so I had a couple things I want to make sure we talked about. Blending styles was one. How you. Oh, the other thing I wanted to add ask about that is, like, do you have a sense of when a verse should be a rap verse? Because on the same vein, like, I think the way that you put your rap lyrics into the rock music is, like, a very good example of like how it should be done, like because you have those MC skills, whereas some other people that have tried to do the mashup don't really have the MC skills that they need to. So to get to the question, like when do you get the sense of when it should be sung? When do you get the sense of when it should be a rap?
Well, I'm not a singer, so. Okay. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just dabbling.
Yes, she is. Don't let her lie to you.
I am learning to cultivate my voice now. Okay, like, you good. Know what I'm saying?
I like that you put it
like I'm naturally hip-hop, so it's just it's in my DNA. So, that's why I like the whole live band thing, because it's so organic. So it's just whenever the music hits me, you know what I'm saying, naturally I'm gonna start rhyming, you know what I mean? So that's just how it goes organically. I don't have like a set way I do certain things. It's just all about how I feel and how it makes me feel, and however it makes me feel, it's gonna come out. You know, like it might be a hip-hop verse and then I might have a little singing in it a little bit, but I ain't trying to do a whole bunch of singing. That's dead.
So, so in other words, like on the recordings that you guys have so far, the song parts are your guys' parts?
Yeah. So like it depending on what Miz like brings in or what we're working on, like if Miz writes a verse and brings it in for us to work on, and like she might have an idea about like echoing something, I might take that, or Nichelle might take that and create another melody from those words, or we'll just be like jamming out and one of us will start singing something and it'll become a refrain, and then Miz will start writing, and it kind of goes either way. It
goes from there.
Yeah.
But the bottom part of the harmonies that you hear is most likely her, though.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, sure.
Just wanna point that out. She's holding the foundation there.
You gotta have the little harmony, though. Otherwise, it all falls apart.
That's all I got, man. That's all I got.
No, it's great.
Really? Uncle Claire.
That's true.
The other thing I kind of wanted to touch on this song, just because I'm curious, the song Dr. Sebi, am I pronouncing that right?
Mm-hmm.
So what's that about? I wasn't familiar. Like, obviously that's about a real person, I presume.
For sure.
Yeah,
Dr. Sebi, he was a healer, and a holistic doctor, they arrested him back in like the 80s because he put out an ad in the paper saying that he could cure AIDS. And then, they have laws, you know, against, you can't, what they say, FDA says you can't cure a disease. So you can only, you know, give basically medication. Mm. So, but he was saying, no, I got holistic remedies. So they locked him up, and then he had to go to court, and he actually went to Supreme Court and won the case. And he brought in, I forget how many patients that were cured, but so since then he was on a mission basically, you know, to heal. And he was healing from cancer, HIV, you name it, diabetes, impotency, everything. And
now that I said herpes.
Herpes, yeah. Was that one? Like, a lot of celebrities went to him as well. And actually, when Lisa Left Eye Lopez, when she died, she was at his healing village in Honduras.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So when you see that last documentary of her, when she's at that village and she's like, you know, doing a 40 day fast, that was in the recommendation of Dr. Sebi, and he cured her from herpes. Oh, wow. But she never made it back, and her plan was to come back and tell the world about him. Mm. But see, that didn't happen. And then when Nipsey Hussle was about to do a documentary on Dr. Sebi, you see what happened to him.
Oh, wow.
And
then, and shortly, so he's still around, because yeah. Nipsey Hussle passed away recently.
Yeah. And Dr. Sebi
was murdered. Let's not.
Exactly. Yeah. And Dr. Sebi passed away. They locked him up in jail, and they said he died from pneumonia. So lots of conspiracy there, but so I just, you know, wanted to make a song about it to basically get people more aware of what's, you know, what's going on.
Yeah, I had no idea. That's why I wanted to ask about it. So that's interesting. Yeah, I didn't know that any of that story. You know, that's wild.
So, it is. Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
I mean, even if you don't believe in conspiracy, you can't deny the very strong connections.
The shit is
weird. Yeah.
So, on a... To piggyback off what she's telling you.
Ain't no piggies.
Which was really... I don't know what... I don't know the word that you would use to describe it, but I thought it was kind of ironic. Maybe that's the right word. That we were scheduled to record that song mm-hmm. on the same week that Nipsey died, which was weird to me. Mm-hmm.
And we were trying to. The reason why it was scheduled like early because we were trying to submit it to Nipsey because we heard he was doing a documentary. So we kind of like sped things up and got in the studio, and then we heard the news. We're like, "Yo, we can't get with the Nipsey now."
Yeah, that was
great. Oh yeah, that was great. That same week that we were gonna record it. Well, we did record it, but we had already had it on the books to record it. Mm-hmm. And he died, what, that Monday? And we were scheduled to record that like Thursday or Friday.
Wow. That is the craziest
process. That was crazy. Yeah. So we added that line that they killed Dr. Sabian and Nipsey too.
Yeah. So you did go back and, you added references to him as well. Yeah. That's crazy.
For sure.
I wonder if there'll be someone else to pick up, like, some sort of new documentary you can give it to.
What's my man's name?
Nick Cannon was supposed to.
Oh, Nick Cannon.
From what we read, anyway, I don't know how true that was.
Well, he said he was.
Oh, did he?
On his Instagram.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Now you need to give it to him, like, as soon as possible.
I have submitted it. I don't know if anybody got it, but.
We put it on the board, and, you know. Said a prayer.
See how it goes.
Written letters to Nick Cannon.
Right. Hopefully he pays attention. So, you also mix in, like, a spiritual and get a little political with that song. So, I'm just trying to get my thoughts together. Mm-hmm. So, are you guys pretty comfortable mixing, like, different content then as well? Because it's not just, like, straight, like, spiritual vibe songs. It's not just, like, love songs. It's like...
It's a lot of different stuff.
Yeah.
Because, again, we come from different backgrounds. Mm-hmm. So we bring different things to the table.
Yeah.
I think it's just about life, you know?
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. life encompasses, you know, you go through all types of emotions, all stages in your life, you know? So whatever is on our mind, you know? And it's like the music is therapy to us. I know it is for me. Yeah. So. Definitely. Whatever is on my mind, like at that time when I wrote Dr. Sabian was on my mind, you know, I think it's just life, you know?
Little of everything.
Mm-hmm.
We literally have a song that would connect to everyone, whether you like R&B, whether you like adult contemporary, if you like straight hip hop, if you like hardcore rock, you're going to find something in our music catalog, or it's coming, trust that. Mm-hmm. That you know, everybody can relate to. This is actually a great time because we live in a digital world where you don't have to buy a whole record and then be disappointed that you didn't connect with every song. You just get the song that you want.
Yeah. So I noticed, you guys have like an EP and then the single song up on Spotify at least. Is that kind of your plan to do like these smaller releases, or is there talk, or are you thinking of like doing a whole album?
Yeah. Originally, we were going to just work on an album, but I feel like the way music is today, like, people want it now, fast, and to stay relevant, you just need to be consistent. So I feel like that's the plan now, is to be consistent and keep putting out music and just release it in digital platforms and let the fans decide what they like the most, and then we can gather it up and put it on the album and add a couple of little secret joints behind it, and boom.
We're on tour.
Yeah.
On tour! Boom. United Kingdom, here we come!
Yeah. Are you guys lining up a tour yet, or what's the plan with that?
It's in the works.
Yeah. In the works.
Super secret school shit.
Yeah. No, this is exciting. There's good stuff coming out. That's good. All right. Well, I guess we can start wrapping it up, but is there anything that I haven't asked you about that you want people to know about? Anything we should mention?
I would say definitely stay tuned for Eat the Cake TV. We're doing like a behind the scenes docuseries of what it's like to be in Eat the Cake band and as a female fronted band, and you know, what's the hustle and bustle besides just seeing us in videos and seeing us on shows, but what actually goes behind you know, behind the scenes, because it's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really, so definitely is. Look out for that. You'll catch it on YouTube, catch it on Instagram, ETC TV.
Nice. Keep an eye open on that.
We're recording right now.
Yep. Shout out to Katara, our videographer.
Yes. Doing great work. Doing great work.
Yeah,
all right. Was there anything else you wanted to mention, or?
Okay. No.
All right. Well, I always wrap up. I ask everybody the same question, and that is, what advice would you have for someone starting out in a new band? Or, you know, like a kid, someone younger starting out. So if you can give like one sentence of words of wisdom, what would they be?
Be ready to say no. Mm. And be willing to share your ideas. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't be That's afraid good. To speak your mind. And yeah.
That's good.
Be confident in your own craft. I think that once you have built the confidence, everything else will fall into place. But if you're not confident in what you know that you can do, who else is going to be?
That's so right.
That's so tough, too. Similar to what Michelle was saying, you know, confidence definitely, I think, is a really big thing. But also just play the music you want to play, because, you know, if you have, because it's so few that people have that feeling, have that desire to play music, and it's wasted if you just spend it playing in some group that you don't give a shit about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or playing music you don't care about.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
I would say be consistent. Overall, if you're consistent and you're constantly working on your craft, you're going to acquire the skills that you need to do whatever it is that you need to do. And then with that consistency also brings confidence, you know? It's like, if you've been writing rhymes for 10 years, you should be pretty confident, you know what I mean? So just be consistent.
Definitely.
I would say be open-minded, be willing to take advice and pointers and whatever else from other people.
That's true.
Yeah, don't take it personal if someone tells you you could do better. Don't take it personal if someone tells you they have an idea and they want you to try it. Be open to all suggestions. And if someone straight up tells you that you suck and you should stop, thank that person. Because that's going to be the motivation you need to surpass them.
Mm-hmm. And that's how I'm fuck nice. You, but yeah. Oh, I love that. No, that's great. That's great. Yeah, those are all really good points. And some of them I haven't really heard before. So thank you guys so much. Eat the cake. You're great. And really looking forward to the TV, the YouTube series. That'll be thank fun you. To check out. Hey. And yeah, I hope to catch you guys at a live show soon.
Cool.
Yeah, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Cool. So that was Eat the Cake. It was so much fun to talk to them. And they just wanted to make sure that I highlighted the fact, we talked about a little on the show, but they wanted me to highlight their YouTube channel they're starting. It sounds like a lot of fun. It'll really give you a behind the scenes look of what it's like to hang out with the band, which is a lot of fun. I think you hopefully grasp from this episode. So just go to YouTube and type in Eat the Cake Band and you'll get linked to that. It should be live as this episode drops. And other than that, I just want to make sure that I let you know about Santa Labrada's next show. That's October 26th at Rituals here in Baltimore. We're going to be with Low Tide, Woven In, and Company Calls, who've been a guest. That's it for this week. As always, please send me recommendations of bands to listen to at corridorcast@gmail.com. Make sure you like the Facebook page. And if you want to show you're a super big fan, please go on Apple or whatever you use to listen to podcasts and rate, like, subscribe, big up the show. I'd really appreciate it. And of course, tell your friends. That would be super appreciated as well. All right. Thanks so much. Catch you next time. Bye.